visiting New Vrindavan. He may be back, he's supposed to come back just about this time. So I was asked to speak a few words tonight. And what was the topic you decided I should speak on? You want me to speak on how to become a pure devotee. This is the most important question in our life. It is not that we must become a pure devotee, because we already are pure devotees. Just as, I will give an example, if a young man has a father who is a millionaire, and the child falls asleep and is dreaming that he is a beggar on the street, and in his dream he's thinking, how can I become wealthy? The fact is, he already is wealthy. The fortune of his father already belongs to him. But he has forgotten. Due to ignorance in his dream, he has forgotten the wealth of his father. He has forgotten his connection with his father. And therefore, he is factually suffering due to poverty. So it is not that he has to become rich. He already is rich. But he has to wake up and understand the truth of who he is and his relationship with his father. Or another example, similar, if a young man has a father who has put $1 million in bank account for him, but he forgets who his father is and he forgets his account number. And therefore he's begging in the streets. And he's starving. He's suffering. And he's thinking, how to become rich? How to eat nice food? He already is rich. But because of forgetfulness, he is suffering. So that is our condition in this material world. It is said in Gita, Mamayavam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashishtanandriyani prakriti stanikarashiti, that we are all part of God. We are all of the same quality as God Himself. And what are God's qualities? He is Satchit Ananda. He is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And similarly, the Atma, the soul, is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And because we are part and parcel of the Supreme Atma, the Paramatma, or Krishna, therefore, pure devotion to God is the natural tendency within all of our hearts. It is explained by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhyaka Bunoi Sravanadi Sudhichiti Koriya Yudhoi, that love of God, pure devotion, is already within the heart of every living being. Not only each and every one of us in this world, in this room, who are already anxious to understand higher principles of philosophy, but also the common man who is working so hard just to get some money in this world. Whether they be Americans, Russians, Pakistanis, Africans, Iraqis, whether they be elephants, cows, dogs, or insects. Wherever there is the life force, wherever there is consciousness, that is the symptom of the presence of the soul. And the nature of every soul, which is part of the Supreme Soul, is to love God. We are all pure. We are all pure devotees of God. But different species of life and different people and different types of consciousness are due to different layers of coverings, of forgetfulness, which obscure that pure devotion that is within our heart. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has said that pure devotion is within the heart of everyone, every living entity. Now, how to awaken that pure devotion? Lord Chaitanya has given a simple formula. By simply chanting the name of God and associating with pure devotees of God, that natural love of God is awakened within our heart. Please. Like the sun is always in the sky. Sometimes we see it and sometimes we do not. But the sun is always there. During the monsoon rains, sometimes the sun is covered by clouds. But when the cloud is removed, the sun reveals everything. And right now we do not see the sun. It is night. But does that mean that the sun has ceased to exist? The sun is existing in another place. And because it is covered, we are not able to perceive it. So Krishna consciousness is the original natural consciousness within everyone's heart. And enlightenment means simply to remove the covering of darkness and allow the light of the soul to shine from within us. So how to allow the natural light of the soul, the natural devotion, the pure devotion within our heart to shine from within us? This is the most important question of the human form of life. In fact, in the Brahma Sutra, it is said, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, that human life begins when we ask this question. What is our relationship with God? How to develop, how to awaken our pure devotion to God in this life? Until we sincerely ask this question, the quality of our life is like that of the animals. Simply existing, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, and making so many grand arrangements around these very, very base principles of survival. Human life is very rare, because human life affords the opportunity to become enlightened, to wake up. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every morning, he would gather his devotees together and they would go into the streets and they would have kirtan and they would sing a very beautiful song. Jeev jago, Gaura Chandra bole, Kota nidra jayo maya, Pisachira kole. Wake up, sleeping souls, wake up! You are all sleeping in the lap of the witch of Maya. And therefore you are suffering the turmoils of this material creation. Wake up! Come out of this nightmare situation of yours. Wake up! Understand that you are eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. Understand that you are part of God, that your Father is the supreme, almighty, opulent person, who is the controller of all controllers. Wake up. Re-enter again into your eternal family in the presence of God. So, just like in the morning, if we are having a very bad dream, your beloved family members, when they see you tossing and turning and rolling around, they feel great sympathy for you. They know that you're safe. They know that you're peacefully situated in a nice protected house. But you are suffering like anything because you do not know it. Because you are identifying with a body in a dream, which is not you, which has nothing to do with you. You are laying in a nice bed, and a Everything around is very nice. Your body is young and healthy. What is the problem? But you're dreaming that you're falling from a mountain. And you're about to crash into the ground and die. And there's great fear. And you're screaming and crying, no, 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 no. And your family members are all around you. And they feel great. They feel pain in their heart that you are suffering due to this illusion. So they wake you up. And how do they wake you up? By sound vibration. Huh? Just like we have alarm clocks. That is the most popular way of waking up. Correct? Alarm clock. Now, what is an alarm clock? The fact is that the number and the hands are on the clock. Why do you need an alarm? Because you cannot see the number on the hands. If you want to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, it's not that when the dial hits 5, you go, ah, now it's time to wake up. Because in the sleeping condition, you cannot see. You cannot taste. Oftentimes, you cannot feel. But there's one, you cannot smell. But there's one sense that remains awake, even in our sleeping condition. And that is the sense of hearing. Huh? Therefore, when the alarm rings, ring, 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 we go, now I'm awake. So similarly, when the family member seeing that we are suffering a nightmare and we're tossing and we're turning, through sound vibration, they call our name. Wake up, wake up, wake up. And then you wake up, and when you wake up, you realize, there's never been a problem. Everything is all right. So therefore, in this world, we find in all the great religions of the world, in all the great scriptures of the world, that the process of awakening comes through the process of hearing and chanting. Just like the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna fell into the slumber of ignorance in the first chapter of Gita. I believe each week Sri Govinda is giving lectures on Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna, who is a perfect devotee of God, he was Krishna's best friend, was he not? But somehow or other, due to the circumstances around him, he forgot his relationship with Krishna. He forgot his elevated position. And in this forgetfulness, he was suffering horrible. Tears were flowing from his eyes. His body was trembling. His limbs trembled. His complexion became pale white. His mouth became parched dry. He was in such a miserable condition. And in his miserable condition, he approached Krishna. Please instruct me. I do not know what to do. At first, he was thinking, I know how to solve my problems in life. I'm in a miserable condition, and he began to use his very, very good intelligence, and he had a very excellent intelligence, how to solve his problem. And he came to so many conclusions. And he began to present all these conclusions to Krishna. I will not fight this war. If I fight this war, then so many people will die. Why? Just because the Pandavas want to be the kings? So many people die? People like my guru, Dronacharya, my grandfather, Bhishma, respected personalities? Even if I gain the kingdom, if my treasures are tainted with the blood of those who I love, how can I enjoy it? Therefore, I will not fight. And not only that, but if we fight this war, so many people will die. And when they die, their wives, they will have no one to protect them. And when women are not protected, unscrupulous men take advantage of them and exploit them. And when women are exploited by unscrupulous men, then there is unwanted population as a result. And when there is unwanted population, such progeny does not perform sacrifice, does not engage in spiritually religious activities. And with their presence as the future generation, the whole society is doomed. This whole society is condemned to sin and frustration and suffering. Therefore, I will not fight this war. But even with all of his planning, and even with all of his solutions, the anguish in his heart was only increasing. And then he said, Krishna, I do not know anything. Karavanya do sopahata subhava prishamitum dharma sambudicheha yet treyashe nishchitan bruhitan me shishyasti hamsari mantvam papana. That Krishna, I am now confused about what is my duty, what is to be done, what is not to be done, what is religion, what is real religion. I have lost all composure due to weakness. Now Krishna, please, you instruct me, I am your disciple, I surrender to you. Your question is how to become a pure devotee, how to wake up to the true glory of the self. The Bhagavad Gita, by example of Arjuna, illustrates the first step is you must put aside all your preconceived ideas of what is truth, what is reality, and what is the solutions to the problems of the world. And you have to, in the footsteps of Arjuna, you have to humble yourself at the feet of God or the bona fide representative of God, the spiritual master or the pure sadhu. And when we approach in the same mood of Arjuna, I know nothing, whether I have a PhD or 10 PhDs. When it comes to the spiritual subject matters of life, I know nothing. When it comes to practically, even if I have studied religion, I have seen people with PhDs in religion, but they know nothing about how to practically awaken their soul. It is not by academic knowledge that you can understand the truths of the Vedas. The Vedas explain, tad vijnanartham sugurum eva abhigacche, that one can only understand the truth of the Vedas by the process of approaching a proper professor of the Vedas. Huh? Sri Govinda is a surgeon, and he is teaching surgery. For many years he was teaching surgery at JJ Hospital. Why do you need somebody to teach you like this? The fact is, to get into a college is very difficult. You have to work very hard and pass so many tests. The same textbooks, you can just buy at a bookstore and go home and read them. But will you ever learn surgery by sitting home reading your textbooks? Those textbooks have to be explained practically, according to time and circumstance, to you, by someone who is experienced and has realized the subject matter. Huh? So similarly, if we want to understand the truth, we have to hear from the lips of the self-realized souls. That is the first and most important step in the process of self-realization. And tadvidi pranitat patina pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninastvata darshan. Krishna says, if you want to know the truth, you have to approach Guru. And you have to inquire submissively and render service. In this way, the self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. So not only do we have to approach a self-realized soul, but we must approach him in the proper spirit. Just like if a gardener wants to grow from a seed, a mango tree, the first thing he has to do is he has to prepare the soil. Or let us say you want to grow whatever, whether it is mango or whether it is rice or whether it is wheat. First you have to plow the field. First you have to fertilize the field. Then you put the seed. And then it will grow. If you put the seed in sand, will it grow? If you put the seed amongst rocks, will it grow? So simply coming and hearing the transcendental subject matter, which comes through the process of hearing into our hearts, is like the seed of pure devotional service. But our heart has to be a fertile field for that seed to grow. And the fertility of the heart is according to how we are hearing submissively, not challenging, not academically, but with a true desire to know, to understand, and to practice. Arjuna, when he was sitting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra between the two armies, he wasn't simply listening to some theoretical discourse by Sri Krishna. Was he? His ears and his heart and his mind were so open to receive what Krishna was saying. It was a matter of life and death to him to understand the subject of Gita. Was it not? Do you understand? It was an urgent emergency. I must understand. Krishna, instruct me, please. And his ears were thirsty for knowledge. And his heart was starving for knowledge. Sometimes we would approach Srila Prabhupada, because after all, on his order, we were out from 8 in the morning, sometimes till 9 or 10 at night, just trying to convince people to wake up. Huh? And we'd come back sometime and we'd say, Srila Prabhupada, we approach people and tell them to wake up, that this material world is a place of suffering. And they said, but I am not suffering. I am very happy. I am very peacefully. What do I do? I do not need this religion. I do not need this God. What to tell these people? Srila Prabhupada said, don't bother with these people. Just give them some prasad. As long as a person thinks that he's happy, what can you tell him? Did you ever try to preach to a man who is drunk and intoxicated? We have seen. A man is so drastically intoxicated, he's laying in a hole in the ground. His head is cut open. Blood is pouring everywhere. His clothes are torn up. His limbs are broken. And he's so intoxicated, when you say, let me help you out of this hole, he says, no, I am enjoying, Leave me alone. And when you try to help him, he goes to punch you. He kicks you. Leave me alone, I'm enjoying. What can you do to help such a man? He's in such an intoxicated state. You have to wait till he becomes a little more sober. And when he realizes he's suffering, then he'll reach out and say, please, help, help, take me out of this mess. Similarly, as long as Arjuna was intoxicated with the pride that he knew how to solve his problems, Krishna did not say a single word to him. In the Gita, try to understand. As long as Arjuna was talking, thinking, he knew, what is what? Krishna remained utterly silent. He did not waste even a single breath to speak to him. It was not until Arjuna sobered up and realized that he was suffering and said, Krishna, save me, please. Then his heart was a fertile field because he became submissive. He understood the urgency for Krishna consciousness. And then Krishna placed that seed within his heart, the seed of knowledge. And that seed entered through his ears through the process of hearing. So this is the beginning of spiritual life. When we have a genuine desire with a sense of urgency to understand and to practice the means which will take me to our natural condition of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, Krishna says, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. If you want to learn the truth, first you must inquire submissively, as did Arjuna. not challenging. At the beginning, you can challenge Guru, just to find out whether he's Guru. Just to understand with your mind, to be convinced that this is a good thing, this is the truth. So that challenging may be good at the beginning. But when we have some conviction that yes, this is Guru and this is truth, then all challenging must be thrown aside. Its purpose has been served. Then with folded palms, we have to become submissive as Arjuna. Now I am your disciple, please instruct me. And the next part is Pariprashnena Sevaya. Seva means service. This means what we hear we must practically apply to our life. Seva is like water. Through the process of hearing, the seed is planted in the fertile soil of our heart. And through the process of rendering service, that seed is daily watered. And then it grows. But when the seed is very young and very small, try to understand that there are so many ways that it could be destroyed and disturbed. Huh? When a seed is just growing, if somebody steps on it, it's finished. When it's a very young treeling, if some animal comes and eats it, it is finished. So while keeping the soil fertile through submissive hearing and association with saintly persons, and watering it by rendering service, we must also protect it. And that protection takes place through the following of the regulative principles of freedom. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes that the essential four regulative principles are no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. Of course, there are many other principles. But these are the four basic sinful activities which very, very greatly disturb the growth of the flower of devotion within our heart. So therefore, if we carefully follow the principles of devotional service and carefully water that seed, then that natural inclination toward Krishna, toward devotion, will grow within our heart. What you associate with, you become like. This is a principle. This is a law of material nature. It is not just our opinion. If you put an iron rod in fire and leave it there, what happens to that rod? Huh? It becomes hot like fire. It glows red like fire. And if you touch it, you get burnt as much as if you put your finger directly in the fire. Huh? Now what if you take that same iron rod and put it in ice? Then what happens? It becomes freezing cold like ice. And if you touch it, you feel the same sensation as if you touch the ice directly. Huh? So the law of nature is whatever an object associates with, it takes on those qualities. So the first most important thing we must understand is who we associate with. We will become like that. If you want to become a pure devotee, you must associate with pure devotees. And you must avoid the association of those persons who are living a life contrary to the principles of pure devotional service. It's most essential. Just like if you put the rod in fire for 5 minutes, and then you put it on ice for 10 minutes, and then you put it in fire for 5 minutes, and then in ice for 10 minutes, what happens to the rod? Nothing. It just goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. There's no progress either direction. So similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that if you want the seed of pure devotion to grow in your heart, asat sangatyaga avaishnavachara, you must associate with saintly persons who are striving in that direction. And you must avoid the association of those who are too much attached to material sense enjoyment. So how to become a pure devotee? By associating with those who are pure devotees, and by associating with those who are striving for pure devotional service. Now you may ask, how is this possible? After all, I have family, I have my business, or I have my profession. I cannot just be living like these brahmacharis amongst devotees day and night. So how can I practically associate with devotees and avoid the association of non-devotees? We must understand what is the principle of association. In the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna was factually, physically, in the association with his enemies. But his mind was always fixed on carrying out the order of Krishna. He was always in the mission of Krishna, even if he was in the association with Duryodhana and all others. He was never pursuing their mission. So therefore, in the execution of our duty, we may have to associate with so many different types of people. How to remain a lotus flower in that condition? Do you know the story of a lotus flower? Sometimes a lotus flower grows in the most muddy, muddy ponds of water. But the lotus flower is never touched by even one grain of dirt. Why is that? It is said, Bande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. The great souls, the great devotees of the Lord, they are like lotus flowers. Their feet are like lotus feet. Because even though they are living within this world, where there is so much commotion, so much quarrel, so much hypocrisy, so much envy and lust and greed and pride and anger, so much violence, so many materialistic tendencies, such a person, like a lotus flower, even in the pond, is not at all disturbed, is not even tinged by these. How is it possible? You see, the secret of the lotus flower is that its stem goes down, 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 through this pond of water, into the ground under the water. And its roots are in the soil. And because its roots are in the soil, it is being nourished by the soil. And therefore, it is always indifferent to the conditions of what the water is like around it. So similarly, if we can always keep our consciousness, which is like the stem, connected through its roots to our source, the soil of Krishna, then even if we are in the most adverse and horrible conditions of life, like a lotus, we will be untainted. But if the stem of the lotus is cut, if you separate the lotus from its connection to the ground, what happens? The lotus flower sinks, shrivels up, and just becomes part of the muddy water. So we must keep always our connection to Krishna. Therefore, every morning, we should rise early, and we should chant the holy names of the Lord. What you associate with, you become like. The name of God is none different than God himself. It is the easiest and most practical means of keeping our consciousness with Krishna, by chanting his name. Anyone can chant the name of God. He has made himself supremely accessible through his name. Just like if you are in the middle of a crisis in a business, can you just take out Bhagavad Gita and start reading? Huh? But you can say Hare Krishna. If you're in a car and the car is going down a mountain and you're about to die, do you start reading the four Vedas? Do you have time? Is God accessible through that process? Or can you sit in the lotus posture and fix your and start raising your kundalini through the chakras? Huh? Is that process accessible? There's only one process accessible at that time. Hare Krishna. And God is right there. He is with you in his divine presence in full. Recently I was at a naturopathic hospital. And this doctor, very, very pious man, he was explaining the importance of fasting. And he was explaining the importance of purifying the heart through fasting and through drinking grape juice and all these different types of cures. So we went to this one temple, which was high, high in a hill. And we were coming down in very, very thin roads, and it was night. And the car that we were driving in just started falling off. And somehow or other, the driver swerved it back. And we were looking down thinking, my God. And then I asked the doctor, who was very, very convinced of his tradition, that through fasting and through naturopathy eating diet, you can solve all the problems of life. And I asked him, now, do you admit that it's very likely that it could have happened that we fell down that hill? And he said, yes, we almost did. It's a miracle that we did not. I said, all right. Now, if we were falling down that mountain and you knew you only had a few seconds to live in this life, would you start drinking grape juice? Or would you cry out, Krishna, Krishna, save me? He said, I would call out, Krishna, Krishna, save me. I'd say, you see, of all processes, there's nothing better than the chanting of the holy name. Because in every situation of life, the name is there. Accessible. Om apavitra pavitro vasaravavastam gatapiva yasmaret pundarikaksham sabayavyantarasuchi. One who remembers the all pure becomes purified. This is the law of association. Just as Krishna is pavitra, he is the supreme pure, all of those purifying qualities of God are within his name. Huh? We can always be in the divine presence of the Lord if we keep, like the lotus flower, if we keep our stem and our roots fixed in God's name. So we should begin our day by fixing our consciousness in Krishna, by chanting his name, by studying the scripture, by keeping all of our senses very purely immersed in his loving service, by performing some puja. Let our every day begin with this and this alone. Nothing else should be a priority. Nothing else should be our duty in the morning except our sadhana, our purification. And then after that, let us take some nice prasad, which is also very purifying to the body, the mind, and the soul. And then let us go to our daily activities. But like lotus flowers, we may have to do our duties, but we do not enjoy. We do not socially take part in the enjoyments of those who are not in devotion to God. The contamination that takes place in the heart is not when we are doing our duties in this world, whether we are businessmen or so forth. The contamination takes place afterward when our social life is intermingling with people who are materialistic by nature. When we start to take part in the things that they enjoy. We can do anything as our duty. But we do not take part in enjoying what they enjoy. Because as soon as you do that, you become, your consciousness becomes like that, materialistic, non-devotional. You become further and further and further implicated in the bondage of illusion. We want to wake up. Materialistic activities simply put us deeper and deeper in the slumber of ignorance. So therefore, after performing our duties, we should befriend, and our social life should be with those persons who will help cultivate the devotional sentiments in our heart, help purify our life. This is very important. That is why it is said, sadhu sanga sadhu sanga sarva sastra koi lava matra sadhu sanga sarva siddhi hoy. That the association of sadhus is the most precious and valuable treasure that is given by God in the whole creation. When we associate with saintly persons, naturally, the quality of devotion grows. When we associate with Krishna through his devotees, through his name, through his prasad, through his murti, through his books, through his words, through that association, naturally pure devotion awakens from within our heart. So to answer your question, how to become a pure devotee, this is the process. In summary, first of all, we have to hear in the association of pure devotees. Through the process of hearing, as I explained before, faith awakens within our heart. And then that faith must be nourished. It must be nourished by watering it with the holy name of God, with the studying of the scripture. It must be watered by associating with God and his devotees. And it must be protected by following the principles of devotion. It is very simple. It is not a mystical secret. God helps those who help themselves. And if you simply follow this process of hearing, chanting, engaging in the service of the Lord, and inquiring submissively, regularly, in the association of devotees, if you simply follow these very, very simple principles, Krishna guarantees that by his divine arrangement, pure devotion will be awakened from within your heart. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mami vaishyasi satyam te prati jani priyoshime. Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. This is my promise because you are my dear friend. This process of Krishna consciousness is 100% infallible. It is the ordained is the promise of God. If you simply follow this process of always thinking of Krishna, becoming his devotee, offering your homage unto him, you will come to him without fail. Your natural, eternal condition of truth will be revealed from within, that you are eternally the loving servant of the Lord. But the most important thing is we must follow the process of Krishna consciousness as it is being revealed by God and his eternal servants, the Guru and the Sadhus. We must follow these principles sincerely. Not show bottle. For no other reason we should want than to become purified. Huh? And if we are sincere in this matter, God helps those who help themselves. So simply follow these basic principles very, very sincerely. And gradually you will wake up. The sound vibration of the Lord's name, the sound vibration of the calling coming from the compassionate hearts of the sadhus will awaken your soul. And then you will understand that, yes, my father is Krishna. He is the wealthiest. He is the most beautiful. He is the most powerful. He is the most intelligent. He is the most famous. He is the most renounced. He possesses all six opulences. And as his son, all that is his is also mine. When you are Krishna conscious, when you understand your relationship with God, you have no desires unfulfilled. So just wake up. But there's a saying that the most difficult person to wake up is a person who is pretending to sleep. Huh? Can you wake up a person pretending to sleep? Not possible. Because he knows what's happening, but he just doesn't want. A person who's actually sleeping, you can wake up. But day in your job, whether it's convenient or not. But when it comes to the most important priority of life, the very purpose of human birth, to awaken our natural Krishna consciousness, if it's convenient, I will go. That means our priorities are completely distorted. Krishna must be the priority. I must chant the holy names every day. I must read the scriptures every day. I must associate with sadhus every day. Or, if not every day, as much as possible. If we make these principles that awaken our soul, the priorities of our life, that is the test that we are sincere. I'm saying to you, you must be sincere. But some people think that being sincere, this is a very intelligible word. What does it mean to be sincere? I'm already sincere. What is the definition of sincerity? I am giving you a definition of sincerity. This is the definition that our Guru Maharaj has given us. The test of your sincerity is how much you are making Krishna the priority in your life. We can say so many things. We can talk about how I have seen Krishna in the forest tonight. So many people tell me, yes, last night I saw Krishna. But anyone can say they have seen Krishna. But the test of our sincerity is how much we are putting the process of devotional service first in our life. And is there anything to fear if you put Krishna first in your life? Some of us are very afraid. If I become too serious about Krishna consciousness, what will happen to the rest of my material life? How many people have been warned of this? Raise your hand. Has anybody warned you that if you become too much involved in this Krishna consciousness and this spiritual life, then what will happen to all your rest of responsibilities? How many have heard this warning? Raise your hands. Many of you. Huh? I hear it every day. First of all, we must understand that it is only by God's grace that we have anything. If He does not provide the sunlight, how long will we live? Have you or your ancestors created the sunlight? Has the government created the sunlight? Has the industries and technologies created the sunlight, or the air, or the water, or the earth? We are 100% dependent on the gifts of God 24 hours a day. He is maintaining our survival at every second. If you surrender to Him, do you not think He will take care? Do you not think that He will take care of you, your family, and everyone else? The fact is, He's already taking care of you and your family and everyone else. And you are in grand illusion if you think you're doing it. So Krishna says in Gita, Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupashate tesha nitya viyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamya. That if you surrender to me by following this simple process with sincerity, making me as a priority, He told Arjuna that you are a Kshatriya. You are a politician. Perform your duty. You have no right to leave your duty. You're also a family man. You have no right to leave your family. Do your responsibilities as a family man. But always make me the priority of all of your responsibilities to your family, to your occupation. In every sense of life, make me the priority. Huh? Make me the goal. Make service to me the object of whatever you do. And Krishna tells Arjuna, if you surrender to me in this way, I will preserve what you have and I will carry what you lack. So what do we have to fear? Make Krishna the priority in your life. In this way, be sincere and follow these simple processes I have explained today. And then it is Krishna's word, 100% guarantee, unconditional guarantee, that you will become a pure devotee. That pure devotion will awaken from within your heart. And the sweet fruit of bhakti is so wonderful that when tasting even a drop of it, all of our desires are utterly nourished. And then and only then do we understand the essence of peace, the essence of joy in our life. And when we taste the sweetness of that joy, that peace of pure devotional service, then naturally our compassion and our sympathy for anyone who is in a poverty-stricken state, not tasting that sweetness, will grow and grow and grow. And we will simply want to distribute the contents of this love, this storehouse of love within us, to the world, to our loved ones, to our friends, to all living beings. And this is the state of perfect life. Thank you very much. Does that answer your question? Is there any other questions? What do you achieve after becoming a pure devotee? You do not achieve anything. It is not like in a classroom where you achieve something, or in business where you achieve something. A pure devotee, a sincere devotee, never thinks that I am achieving. A sincere devotee simply accepts the position that I am the humble servant. And I am such a sinful person, and I have done so many bad things against God in my life. I have no qualifications to achieve anything. I am sincerely trying to become the servant of the Lord. I am sincerely trying to just be the servant of His servants, the gurus and the sadhus. And by His causeless mercy, He awards me pure love, pure devotion, pure peace, pure joy, eternal life full of bliss and full of knowledge. This is the result, to experience an eternal life full of bliss and full of knowledge. But it is never achieved. It is the gift of God. Do you achieve a gift? If someone comes on your birthday and says, here is 1 crore of rupees, do you say, oh, I have achieved 1 crore of rupees? You didn't do anything. You simply accepted it. You didn't achieve it, you accepted it. This is bhakti. Bhakti is not achieving. Bhakti is accepting. It is a descending process. The ascending process is, by my supernatural powers I will attain eternal life. But bhakti means I am the humble servant. I have no qualifications. Let me just sincerely inquire. Let me just sincerely serve the devotees. Ragadveshiva muktaishtu vishayanandriyaishtara natmavashayavadhe atmaprasadamarigashati. Krishna says, if you just follow this simple process of being the humble servant of the Lord, just as I have been explaining through this class, then by His causeless mercy, He reveals to you the truths that are within your own heart. That is His gift. Simply accept. Our Guru Maharaj is known as Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Whose grace is it? It is Krishna's grace coming through him. We simply have to accept it. We cannot achieve his grace. We have to accept his grace. And the process of accepting it means to open our minds, to open our hearts, to open our lives, and follow his words.
We often hear in class that going back to Godhead, what does that mean?
To go back to Godhead?
In that context, why does
to go back to Godhead means to wake up. When you're sleeping at home and you're dreaming you are in the jungles being eaten by a tiger, when you wake up, you simply go back to your real home. Actually, you've always been there, but you've forgotten. You've forgotten that you're at home with your family. You're dreaming that you're somewhere else in a dangerous condition of life. The soul is always with God. But we are asleep. We cannot perceive the Lord sitting right by our side. So when we wake up, that is, we're already back home, back to Godhead. So to go back home, back to Godhead, means to wake up and understand you've never left. But you're dreaming. You're dreaming that you've left, and therefore you're suffering a nightmare of birth and death. And birth and death, repeated birth and death. It is a nightmare. Wake up. That is the process of going back home, back to God. It is not a material journey that you can buy a railway ticket or an airplane ticket. This is the destination is right within yourself. You're already there. But your consciousness is identifying somewhere else. So wake up. Bring your consciousness back home, back to Godhead. In the Bible it is said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all things shall be attained. The kingdom of God is within yourself. He said there's a book. And this book was about a young man whose father buried a treasure within his own backyard. And this boy traveled throughout the whole world for most all of his life, struggling and struggling and struggling and struggling just to find some riches. And after all of his sojourns and all of his struggles through the many, many years of his life, he finally came back home and found that the treasure was right in his backyard. The treasure of love of God, the treasure of all peace, all joy, all wealth is right within your own heart. But you've left your heart, and through your senses, your consciousness is just searching for the joys of of the soul everywhere except where it is. But after births and births and births and births of fruitlessly trying to find that eternal joy, that eternal peace through the objects of this world, alas, when you meet Guru, he tells you, it's right here within your heart, but it's buried there. We have to find it. And this is the process. That is the process of going back home, back to God. Yes.
You talk about the importance of association of pure devotees. It is very difficult to find really a pure devotee. To be precise, 99% of the devotees coming over here, we find that they are making some adjustment or some compromises with material life. So we tend to believe that, okay, if we have to make devotional service, we also have to make some compromise here and there. How do you explain that?
Our association must be with those who are striving for pure devotional service. It is very difficult to find everyone to be a pure devotee. Pure devotion is very rare because that sincerity is very rare. It is a gradual process. So therefore, we wish we should very sincerely seek out the association of those who are striving, those who are making pure devotional service the priority in their life. They may not be pure devotees, but if pure devotional service is the priority of their life, that association is most holy and most sacred. And if they have any defects, don't even look at it. The fact that they're so much anxious for pure devotional service is such a wonderful, valuable, and rare quality that all of their so-called defects have no meaning. They have no significance. So strive to associate with those persons who are striving for pure devotional service. But they must be striving under the direction of someone who is very advanced on the process of pure devotional service. Because if they are striving under the direction of the pure devotees, then they are on the path back home, back to Godhead. And together we will travel that path back home, back to Godhead. Huh?
I heard you ask that question. How many parents have got a fear about you when you came to Madhya? I just really wanted your analysis. From where does it spring? Because the little Vedanta which I have heard in 2-3 lectures which I have attended, and it says that you cannot cut up and don't think of any consequence. Now, in my equation of the world and my duties in the world, I say your intention, preparation, motivation, execution, consequences, and end of action. So, consequences is fun, not the money. You know, after the patient survives and gets benefit, I am a doctor. Now, entire responsibility I have to take. It may be that I do it because of the God's grace. But my friend, he won't leave me if his wife is dead on account of something. He will say, I don't know anything about God. I know you have done it. And you have. Were you only thinking of God all the time, you know, and not attending to my wife? How is it that she is dead? Now I am trying to explain to him the modus operandi of her death. But he's not taking that, and even suppose if I utter or I take the time, read it, you know, and the spare time which I have got in between doing my duties, you will say you are only reading Gita, you know, and you are only reciting the name. So that thing also becomes how, as regard my survival is concerned and relationship. I would like your analysis on the fear, because my deep devotion will grow.
When Arjuna was fighting, on the battlefield, did he pick up Gita and start reading? That was at the beginning. But what about when he was on the field fighting? From sunrise to sunset, he was only fighting. Correct? And before the sunrise and after the sunset, he would be talking Krishna all philosophy. But in between, he was simply fighting. But because he was hearing from Krishna before the fight, and he was hearing from Krishna after the fight, therefore during the fight, he was simply remembering Krishna the whole time. And that is what made him the greatest fighter. Because when you remember Krishna, he empowers you with his divine mercy. So what I'm saying is this. You must perform your duty. And you must perform your duty with concentrated meditation on doing your duty as well as you possibly can. But in your heart, you should always be praying, Krishna, it is by your grace, it is by your mercy.
I say I may be enlightened about the case itself by the Krishna's grace, what is required for meditation. That is true, but the prejudice surrounding it, one, and I am accused of that I was the karta. And when the religion says you are the only witness, you should behave like a witness and not as a
karta. We are not concerned with the words of the ignorant. It is said that the dogs will bark, but the caravan carries on. Huh? Hiranyakashipu was always... Just listen to me. Hiranyakashipu was accusing Prahlad. Give up this Krishna. Do what I say. But did Prahlad listen? So the atheistic class of men will always say, what did Karl Marx teach? That religion is the opiate of the people. The communist principle is based on this, materialistic communism. That religion only distracts your mind away from progress for technology and an efficient society. And what is the result? That the communist countries are the most poverty-stricken poor countries and the people are utterly miserable. Right? Just listen, because I have to go in 2 minutes. So you see, this is always the propaganda of the materialists. And if you start taking their propaganda seriously, you'll be lost. You have to accept the word of God. Krishna says, always think of me. And Shishupal says, don't always think of Krishna. So who are you going to listen to, Shishupal or Krishna? If you want to be like Shishupal, don't think of Krishna. If you want to be like Krishna and his pure devotees, you always think of Krishna. You can please some of the people some of the time. You'll never please all the people all the time. If you're always thinking of Krishna, the devotees will be very happy. But the materialistic people will think, you're so impractical. What is this waste of time? The time you're chanting your japa in the morning, you could be doing so many other, you could be studying to make your profession better. Right? You're a businessman, you're spending 3 hours a day in the puja room, you're spending 2 hours a night with the devotees. That extra 5 hours a day, you could be making thousands of rupees more every day if you just stay at your office. Right? A materialist will say like that. And a devotee will say that if you're simply at the office all day and you're not doing these things, you're just an animal. You're wasting your human form of life. So you can please some of the people some of the time, but you'll never please all the people all the time. If you're a capitalist, the communists will hate you. If you're a communist, the capitalists will hate you. If you're a socialist, they'll both hate you. Can you be everything? If you're a devotee, the non-devotees will think you're crazy. If you're a non-devotee, the devotees will think you're crazy. There's no position in this world where you will not be accused and criticized. No position. Whatever you do, you will be criticized. So you cannot please all the people all the time. But if you please God, your life is complete. If you go to water, if you want to nourish a tree, you cannot put water on every leaf, every branch, and every twig. But if you water the root, the tree will be nourished. Krishna is the root of all existence. Janmadyashayata. If you satisfy Krishna in your endeavors, yasya prasada bhagava prasada. If you please Guru, Krishna is pleased. If you simply execute the order of Guru, your life is successful. Do not worry about what everyone else says and thinks. Huh? So we're having a celebration this evening. It's Ras Purnima, and I'm supposed to give a lecture there just now. So tonight is the night of Krishna's Rasalila. It is Sharat Purnima. Saradiya Rasa Yatra. It is the night of Krishna's holy Rasalila. So in a few minutes I'll be giving a lecture in the temple room on the subject of Krishna's Rasalila and how it is applicable to our daily life. It might sound inconceivable how Krishna's Rasalila, going out in the middle of the night and dancing with gopis, how this pastime is applicable to our daily life. Tonight we will be discussing this in just about 5 minutes in the temple room. And then after that, there will be a very beautiful darshan. It is a once-a-year darshan where the altar is very beautifully decorated like the forest of Vrindavan. And we will chant nice bhajans and kirtan in the presence of Radha Gopinath. And then we will have a nice feast of Krishna Prasad. So for those who can stay on for that, it will end about 9:30. It will be very nice. Otherwise, I think there will be some prasad served out to those who have to leave early. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.